Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I am joined, as per normal, by Managing Director of Oscar Mike Media and Editor-in-Chief of thesixaxis.com, as well as Bringer of Chaos, Peter Big P. Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hiya!
And we're also joined by a little fucker that interrupted me, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
Ooh, lovely.
Ding dong.
So, let's get things off to a quick start. How crazy is Randy Pitchford on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
Crazy as a bag of cats.
He is seeming pretty
crazy.
I'd say like a bag of angry cats. Like a bag of chilled cats isn't really that crazy if they're just kind of like curled up in the bottom of the bag, asleep. That's not really crazy at all.
Oh no, you have to shake them a bit.
Yeah, that's what I was
gonna say. Are they stray cats?
Yeah, stray cats. Stray cats would be.
Oh, yeah, they'd
be pretty pissed.
Sense. Yeah.
Stray cats in a sack. Give them a quick shake. See how crazy.
Put them in a wheelie bin, throw them downhill.
We're not condoning animal cruelty. We're just trying to give you a level of crazy here.
But if you try it, you'll find out what we mean.
So Randy Pitchford, pretty crazy.
Pretty annoyed, I think. Just he got himself a little bit worked up and he said some things which are frankly ridiculous.
Yes.
And he should just basically stop talking for a week or so.
So basically...
See, I read the story and I'm still not fully understanding why he's so angry.
No one really is.
Basically somebody that works for him that shouldn't be talking to people has been talking to people. And those people published a story then, based on what they said.
Yeah.
And Randy Pitchford said that the journalists that found that story and sourced it from a legitimate source, he said that it was shoddy journalism.
Yeah. So basically...
Which is pretty much what you expect from fucking retards that write on forums and YouTube videos and shit like that. You know, people shout that sort of shit all the time, but you don't expect it from somebody with half an ounce of sense.
Yeah.
Who will then be relying on those journalists when Borderlands 2 actually comes to market?
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, Borderlands 2 is a great opportunity for Gearbox to repay us for the abomination that was Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, exactly.
People are really looking forward to it. So, you know, let the hype build. Let people be excited for it.
Yeah. So quickly, what happened, for anyone who missed it last week, basically, Eurogamer reported on a leak they'd got, which said...
Oh, fucking hell, you said missed it last week. You're doing that whole talking in the future thing.
Hell yeah, I'm fucking awesome like that. So, basically what happened was Eurogamer put out a story where they'd got some information in all likelihood from someone at Gearbox. They're saying it's a source close to Gearbox or high up at Gearbox or something like that.
Close to the game, I think, was the phrase.
Yeah, something like that. So, to be honest, I mean, this could have also leaked out of Game Informer anywhere along the process, but and they leaked the announcement of Borderlands 2 a day early, and Randy Pitchford got kind of pissed and called it shoddy journalism, which it was the exact opposite of shoddy journalism, really. Oh fuck, wait a sec, I've got to go answer the door. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
It's me, don't worry, you know it's me.
Knobheads. Who rings the door when you're halfway through a podcast?
Yeah, who rings the door? Just break the window.
Tell them to post their bag of shit through the letterbox.
Unless it's my bag of shit that I said.
They follow you.
I sent that a couple of weeks ago, so it's probably a bit mushed by now.
It will have ripened.
The seeds inside it probably would have started sprouting.
Oh, God. It's growing sweet corn in that little brown bag.
Hopefully the courier's got my special instructions. Set fire to it.
Oh, here's Chris back.
Chris bag?
Right.
Hello?
Davs, if you're listening to this...
Did you just call him Chris bag?
No, I said here's Chris back.
I thought you called him a Chris bag.
Yep, I'm a Chris bag.
Chris bag.
Right, Davs, if you're listening to this, you're a fucking prat. Why did you forget your keys?
Davs, no.
Anyway, sorry, did you carry on talking? Did you carry on while I was gone?
No.
Yeah,
we went deadly silent.
Didn't say a word.
Well, I can see you did say stuff, but I don't know what you said.
We didn't carry on talking about that.
Let's go back to it.
Quite literally talking shit while you were away.
Oh, are you talking about shit? Excellent.
Yeah, basically.
So Randy Pitchford. I've got this feeling that that somewhere there was a PR department just screaming at him, who've just been permanently screaming at him for the last like day and a half, just telling him to shut the fuck up.
Well, I don't know, because he owns the company, so I think they'll be asking him politely.
Because they also do the publishing deals with Take Two, don't they?
Oh yeah,
and Take
Two. Yeah, the publishers will be like, Randy, come on.
Someone at Take Two is going to shut the fuck up right now. Just stop talking. For the love of God, stop talking.
They probably just banned them all from Twitter.
Oh, probably Newcastle United are doing that.
That thing's dangerous. Because that's where he said it, wasn't
on Twitter. But he the other thing as well is all his follow-up comments seem like, to me, it's not true at all. They seem kind of like drunk logic. When you say something completely outrageous when you're drunk, and you try and backtrack and kind of back it up. It's like, no, it's this. It's just like the News of the World, you know. We all thought they were good, and then they were bad. Like, no, Randy, no, yeah. It's nothing like that at all. No one hacked your cell phone. That didn't happen.
I don't know. It's, you know, you're not a murder victim, and nobody cracked into your voicemail and listened to your messages. So it's not really similar at all.
Not that we know of.
I mean... I find it very unlikely, because you and Gamer are quite lovely, but it may have happened. I'm going to say it probably didn't. 99.999% certain it didn't. But we probably would have said that about most tabloids.
And, I mean, you can call this shoddy journalism, because I haven't checked my facts, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Eurogamer did not hack into Randy Pitchford's voicemail.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen at any point. And it's not.
And so... if it did happen, then I'll come back on next week's podcast. I'll hold my hands up and I will apologise.
Yeah,
but I don't think it did.
But I mean, also, I don't think we could be asked, most games journalists, to like actually hack into someone's phone. That seems like a lot of effort. We just ask them.
Yeah. Well, basically, all you have to do is ask. And I mean, to be fair, he gave an interview to Eurogamer a month ago, where he did everything except confirm that it was coming.
Yeah. And to be honest...
But basically, it's because they sell the... Well, I assume there's money involved. They give the exclusive story to Game Informer.
Yeah.
Which is a print magazine in the US, which is pretty much the last print magazine left in the US. But coincidentally, Game Informer is now owned and distributed by GameStop.
Mm.
The US's largest, or the world's largest, games retailer.
Yeah.
So, giving exclusives to Game Informer is quite handy if you want to then have a retailer that's going to sell the shit out of your game when it releases.
Yep.
So that's why the big publishers and big developers court Game Informer so much, and Game Informer gets all these exclusive covers. So, basically, Randy Pitchford spat his dummy out because Eurogamer scooped the Game Informer cover a day early. And yet today, Game Informer published a story which... basically announced or confirmed that there was something else coming. What was it? It was... Oh, fuck, what was it? I was reading this earlier.
Is it Borderworlds, whatever that is, if that's a thing?
No. It was another sequel.
Oh, what else do they have?
No, it was nothing to do with Gearbox. Oh, it was something Superannuation found.
Oh, right.
But basically, Game Informer did exactly the thing that Eurogamer did, but to something that wasn't owned by Randy Pitchford.
Awesome. Yeah.
The name of that game's just completely gone out of my head. I can't remember what it was.
I don't know.
It wasn't there. I mean, it wasn't as major as Borderlands 2, but still, the same principle.
Yeah, but...
When are we talking about today?
Yeah, it was Scribblenauts.
Oh.
It was a new Scribblenauts.
Oh, so the third Scribblenauts.
They apparently... Yeah, Superannuation uncovered domain names, and Game Informer have scooped that before it's officially announced. Which, by Randy Pitchford's own definitions, is shoddy journalism.
Yeah. I mean,
the rest of us just call it researching a story. But
yeah, so basically, to be fair, he did go back and say he has hinted several times that there's more to the story than is publicly known, and sort of saying that Eurogamer might have broken, hinting that Eurogamer might have broken an NDA, and that they and that there's been a breach of trust at some point.
I think that any NDA that's broken and any breach of trust is most likely to be within his own company.
Yeah, I'm going to say,
or with the contracts they signed with Game Informer.
Because I'm going to say it's not going to be on Eurogamer's side because gaming websites don't risk that. Because you just...
No. I mean, it's not a big enough story. Everybody knew it was coming. It's not a massive story. It was not worth risking breaking an NDA over.
No, because...
Eurogamer will not have done that.
Because a lot... not necessarily Eurogamer, but there are a lot of sites who'd happily break an embargo on that kind of news. Because it's not massive, but it's big enough to get you a decent amount of hits. But to break an NDA is a completely different matter altogether, because then you end up in court. And you end up and someone goes, yeah, you're going to give us a lot of money now. And that's basically what happens.
Basically they compensate you for the marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Or they claim against you for compensation for the marketing campaign.
Yeah. Which is not great. Which is why lots and lots of publishing developers are starting to use NDAs now rather than using embargoes. Which, as I think, I don't know if it was Jim Sterling or if it was a comment on Jim Sterling's article on this whole debacle, but it was someone saying any journalist who agrees to an NDA isn't really a journalist, which I thought was a little harsh, but I can kind of see where they're coming from. Like, anything that you write under the auspices of an NDA isn't really journalism, because it implies that you've just been given information.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a distinction to be made, I think. I think people are too quick to claim that they are journalists in this field. People
yeah,
think
I didn't.
Games journalists.
I never say I'm a. I just say I'm a games writer.
Yeah, I refer to myself usually as a critic.
Yeah, I mean that's reasonable.
I mean we do have. I mean Alex does journalism for the site, and Dan does journalism for the site. I do a little bit now and again, but like I don't generally research things, and I don't do all that sort of legwork.
Yeah, I never do that. I just do opinion pieces.
Yeah. But basically, the guts of what I write is opinion pieces and reviews and previews.
Yeah, same.
Which is not journalism. That's just writing.
No, it's much easier than journalism. Because you just play a game and say, yeah, it was all right. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
It's the research and shit that I'm not very good at. That's why I don't write news.
No, same. Also,
why we love Alex and Dan.
Also, I can't be succinct. Doesn't work. I tried.
Yeah. Me neither.
You just end up with 800 word news stories, and everyone's like, you're just telling me that this game's been released. I'm like, yes, but look, I wrote lots of other things about it.
Yeah, Alex was, when he wrote the thing about Randy Pitchford, and he sent it to me, and I said, I'm going to add a second opinion to it.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to come up with about 200 words, under 200 words, really, otherwise it starts to take over. I wrote 800 words and had to edit it back.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Because I can't help myself.
You should have just got everyone on TSA to write something. Just have it as a massive spiel.
just all on one page. So it takes you about 10 minutes to scroll down a page.
Yeah.
Take that, Randy.
Weirdly, I was actually quite happy I was out last night, so I didn't have to deal with any of Randy Pitchford or blog pieces.
Yeah, it's. I can understand him being annoyed because he's worked towards this, and he's got a plan, and he wanted it all to go and have the big impact of the big announcement. So you can sort of understand him getting annoyed about it, but trying to besmirch somebody else's character and calling them shoddy journalists because of it is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. So his logic is that anything that hasn't been told by a publisher or developer is shoddy journalism.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it seemed like at first. I don't think that's actually what he was saying, but...
No, I don't think in retrospect that's what he intends, but I think that's what his comment...
That's what it came across as, certainly.
Yeah, could be surmised as.
But, you know, that's not what he... From what he said today, that's not what he intended... Well, overnight, I think, if our time, but that's not what he intended to say. What he intended to say is it's shoddy journalism to betray a trust or to break some kind of agreement in order to publish a story, which...
But Eurogamer didn't
We don't
have
know
that.
If Eurogamer had that. It's believed...
But if they had that, he'd just say they've broken NDA or they've broken embargo to bring you this news.
Yeah, if he had that, he wouldn't be bitching on Twitter about it. His solicitor would be contacting Eurogamer.
Well, if they broke an embargo on the news, it's a bit different.
Yeah, but he would have, in the rant that he's had, he would have mentioned that at some point. Because that's a pretty big defense.
Yes, and there might be other reasons he's not mentioning that, like legal stuff and that kind of thing. Or it might simply be that they were told something which someone at Gearbox believed was off the record, but was actually on the record, and then Eurogamer ran with it, which Eurogamer were entitled to do. I think the problem is that no one who's not Eurogamer has the full picture of what happened. So Randy Pitchford is himself making some assumptions about what happened, I believe. And the other thing he was saying, that it's shoddy journalism, because when I first read what he was saying, it's kind of like, it doesn't look like you've actually read the article, because he from what he said, it looked like he was inferring that they'd kind of come out of a Gears Borderland 2 announcement out of the fact that he said it in an interview months ago, which isn't what they were saying at all. They just put that in for a bit of filler, really, to pad the piece out.
Okay. Yeah, because there wasn't really anything in it. Well, the Eurogamer story was basically they're about to announce Borderlands 2.
And then they announced Borderlands 2.
And that was it. And then less than 24 hours later, they announced Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Still. People will all have forgotten in a week. It'll all blow over.
Well, that odd Randy Pitchford will become slowly crazier and crazier, which I would like to see. I mean, if we get to see his descent into madness on Twitter, that's not a bad thing. I am in favour of this.
It would be entertaining.
Yeah. And the new, it'd make writing news really easy. And would you...
Well, yeah, you just, like, just pull a feed of his Twitter feed.
Into the site.
Page and, yeah, just leave it up there. And then we could have to just go out ourselves and go, look, people, come and look at this.
Just like...
like when there's a fight at school and you go running to get everybody.
And just like once stage, write a bit of a recap piece. What crazy things did Randy Pitchford say today? Yeah. Done. Brilliant.
I would also like to announce that in some time, probably a couple of years, Borderlands 3 will be announced.
Oh, shit. That's take fucking that, shoddy, man. You didn't even write, or you did write for TSA Today, I suppose.
But I didn't even write it down. I mean, that just literally came out of my mouth. That's how shoddy I am.
Fuck. Fuck, what are we going to do? Randy Pitchford's going to come and shout at you now. Who could turn up at your doorstep?
Bring it on, as if I wouldn't be able to take anyone that is called Randy.
Turn up at your doorstep wagging his finger at you.
Wagging his tail.
Telling you you're a bad man. The problem is, there's a webcomic called Questionable Content, which has, from time to time, has a raccoon in it, and the raccoon is called Randy, and I keep confusing the raccoon with Randy Pitchford. I just keep imagining a raccoon saying crazy stuff.
Easily done.
It happens. Yeah, normal. Exactly. Moving on. First photos of Superman have been unveiled. He looks pretty badass.
His suit looks heavy
and kind of weird because it's all like meshy.
Yeah, it looks like it's made of
wax. It looks really odd.
It looks like it's made out of Spider-Man suit.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It looks exactly like Spider-Man suit.
Did everybody notice that he does not have his underpants on outside of his trousers?
Oh, I missed that. That's pretty good.
No?
It's upside.
He doesn't have his red pants on.
But
that's a pretty massive change.
Well, then again,
DC did change him in the latest reboot, I think.
He wears jeans now.
Ah.
Does he? Fuck's sake.
What, whilst he's Superman?
Yes, it's really odd.
That is ridiculous.
He wears jeans, and the jeans also seem to be indestructible.
Yeah.
Not even Clark Kent wears jeans.
Yeah,
that's just stupid.
I was looking at the photograph, and then I was looking at a couple of people analysing the photograph, and they were all saying it doesn't look. We can't quite tell. It doesn't look if he's wearing the red underpants outside his trousers.
Oh my god! Did you reply with please get a life?
No, I went one better. I downloaded the photograph, took it into Photoshop, and took an eyedropper of you can select a pixel just below where his belt was, and then looked at the colour values of it. It's blue.
What?
Sorry, Peter. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
So there you go. You can do all the geeky analysis you want, but I'll geek you one better.
The other thing I thought was really weird about his suit is it's really like, because it's like the mesh thing is kind of like a little weird, where it's kind of like meshy Spider-Man, kind of like material. But it's the fact that the Superman logo is also made out of that it's not just like
and looks kind of embossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like claymation to me. It looks like someone stuck a real person's head on a bit
of clay. It does look a little bit like that. I'll give you that.
And people were bitching that he doesn't have the stupid curl on the front of his head as well.
No, but I thought he looked pretty cool. That. And like, has Superman really had that in a while? Does current Superman have that? I can't remember.
He had it in Returns.
Yes.
Oh, do you mean
Brandon Routh had it in Superman Returns? But Superman Returns was an abomination.
I'm just trying to think of the comics, and I can't.
I think in the comics he has always sometimes had it and sometimes not.
Yeah, it's not really been that consistent.
I think he sort of gets that curl whenever he has been doing something quite energetic or fighting with people, then his hair gets unkempt. But I don't think the curl's a thing. I think it just comes and goes.
Let's see.
There's also no explanation as to why he's robbing a bank in the picture either.
Yeah, but he looks really pissed off.
He does look.
Which is fantastic.
Maybe he's just got fed up. He's like, you know what, I've tried helping you lot.
Yeah.
You're all defaulting, I'm going to feed you loads of money.
He's looking pretty angry.
See how you like
it. But he does that sort of thing in the comic books. Superman gets pissed off in the comic books. And he always struggles with having this immense power and people basically not thanking him for it.
Yeah, in the...
See, maybe I've underestimated Superman because I don't really like Superman. Don't like the films because I've always thought he's too good. He's too goody two shoes. Someone with that amount of power wouldn't take long for him to go off the rails and get pissed off. And yet he always came across as a real goody two shoes.
Yeah, he does. In the movies, he's always portrayed as being like that. But there are definitely some times in the comic books where, like, you'll see things where he's in like silhouette and just his eyes are glowing red because he's angry.
That's totally true.
Woman's make me angry. So he does have that side to him, and I think that this photograph is quite interesting that it might have a little bit of that in the film.
Mm. Is Nolan still on board?
Yeah.
He is, because I read somewhere that he pulled out of being producer in order to work on, Dark Knight Rises.
I think he did. I think he passed off and now he's executive producer just. But he co-wrote the storyline before it was scripted.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and it'll be David S. Goyer again, won't it?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, talking of Nolan, we've been seeing images of Bane recently.
Yeah.
Me and Peter think he looks kind of lame.
I think you two look kind of lame.
Yeah, well, so's your face.
Yeah, well, so's your mum.
Well,
so's your mum's face.
So's your
I will dog. Admit, because the main shot we've seen of him is kind of like... He's wearing that big coat, isn't he? I don't think he looks good at that. But in the other shots that I kind of showed you with it, they've got Batman and Bane in. I think he looks cooler in those, where he's wearing... Because it kind of looks like he's wearing body armour underneath.
Yeah, he's kind of got this paramilitary kit on.
Yeah, I think he looks kind of cooler in that, I think.
I think he looks cool.
Yeah, I think he looks a little bit cheesy, but that might just be because these photographs are—they're not official photographs.
Yeah, they're not.
And it's daylight. It's fully lighted.
There'll be post production and all sorts.
When they put the post production on and they get the lighting right,
exactly.
I think he might look pretty cool.
Yeah, I just don't think he looks. I mean, he was never going to be absolutely huge, but I just don't think he looks big enough.
Plus, I said to Chris that we don't know if there's going to be a point in the film where he mutate further and become like the Hulk. Like the Hulk version. Exactly.
Well, that's true. In the comic books,
we're just unsure, aren't we?
In the comic books, he was just very strong. He was like a wrestler or something, wasn't he?
And then he got mutated.
But the fact that he's wearing the mask hints to me that something has happened to him at this point.
But maybe that's just like his costume.
Yeah, maybe that is just his early career as a villain, and then he'll go.
You don't know. They might CGI him up some more or something, even with like this stuff. They might do.
Well, they made Robbie Coltrane look like he was 8 feet tall as Hagrid, didn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, and also I noticed in one of those pictures where he's fighting Batman, the picture where you see the back of his head and the back of his neck, it looks like there are some prosthetics on the back of his.
Oh yeah, no, there
neck.
Are. Yeah.
So they may just ramp those up and go bigger.
I mean, it's just not really clear. Yeah, I think we need to wait and see a bit more with this.
I think I'll still maintain.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've got your faith in Nolan. I mean, the thing is with these images,
it's not faith.
I mean, the thing
not.
Is though with these images, even Batman looks kind of stupid in these images, and we know.
Yeah,
we know that he looks pretty cool.
He looks like somebody wearing a Halloween costume.
Yeah, he does.
And in one of those pictures, it looks like they're having a fight, but one of those kids fights where they're just slapping.
Yeah.
Them. it looks like that type of fighting.
And the thing is as well, that Batman costume has made me realise that the actual Batman costume they're using on set isn't really that good. It's just all in post-processing. They make it look amazing.
Yeah, it's all the way it's lit.
Yeah.
How Bale looks well skinny in those photos. He doesn't look like he's beefed up at all.
Well, we'll see, I guess.
His hair's quite long and shaggy as well.
Mm.
Oh, he's going to go back to Nepal, isn't he?
Probably. Go and climb another hill. Picking flowers.
Destroy another monk.
The other weird thing in this picture is if you look, he doesn't have eyes.
Who doesn't have eyes?
Bale.
That's because that's what I'm saying. He was having a cat fight and he was too busy shielding his eyes. He didn't have enough time to take off his earrings. But also, take a look at the cops and the villains in the background. They're having a little cat fight as well. It's just one big cat fight.
Do you think if we had audio Catwoman. From that scene, it would just be people going, not the face, not the face?
Yeah. Either that or it would be rhubarb and custard, rhubarb and custard.
Oh, have you seen the video that there is?
Yes, of the Batman
There's a video that from the comparison images I showed you, which like the fight that happens in, is there's a huge riot going on outside City Hall.
Oh right, yeah, I saw the and they blew the building.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah, I saw the explosion.
Yeah, but the Batmobiles are looking cool as well.
They are, except I couldn't help but laugh at those videos because I think for Batman Begins they built 13. Batmobiles at the cost of £1 million each. So it's not a secret that they have hundreds of Batmobiles or
13
multiple Batmobiles to if anything goes wrong. This bloke was running down the road chasing bearing in mind the Batmobile was driving at about 3 miles an hour in some sort of convoy. He was running down the road with the camera and it was a minute and a half of that. Nothing happened. Yeah. Just him running down the road watching a Batmobile travel at 3 miles an hour. And I just couldn't help but think the driver of that Batmobile must be pissing himself. Look at that nerd following me with a camera. I mean, take a picture and take a 10-second clip. We get the idea. We don't need a minute and a half of you chasing a Batmobile at 3 miles an hour. Yeah,
exactly. Plus, we kind of know what the Batmobile looks like.
Yeah, just because it's got a new camo skin.
We saw that. That's Batman Begins in Hoy as well.
Yeah, before it goes black, but...
Once you go black, you never go back.
That is true.
Yeah.
And they... I said that like I know them.
Apparently.
Be like, yes, I remember vividly. Right, shifting...
Once you go black, you never sit back down.
Shifting onwards, Peter, you've been playing Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which you have to say it like that.
Apparently.
yeah.
I have been playing that.
Sorry, what have you been playing?
Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
No, I prefer Chris.
Yeah. I wasn't really ready. I went off half-cocked.
So is this...
Sorry. So to speak.
From what I understand of this, is this like what if Shadow Complex was a dual joystick shooter?
It's kind of like what if... Well, maybe Shadow Complex or Metroid.
Yeah.
Hooked up with Pixel Junk Shooter.
Pixel Junk. Oh, I was just about to say that.
And... What if they made a baby? It's one of those. People always say that. What if Pixel Junk Shooter and Shadow Complex made a baby? Yeah.
I can't go downtown without hearing
that. I know.
I know. It comes up so often.
Barely open the front door.
I mean, you wouldn't think it came up very often, but just all the time. It's all I'm hearing.
It's the word on the street. it's kind of like an exploration thing. You get the whole map, but you kind of have to get different things and do different things to unlock areas of it, and you'll get to a bit and it'll be sort of closed over, and then you have to go and explore and find the right tool and come back to it. So it's kind of one of those kind of games, but it is absolutely brilliant and it looks stunning.
I want it.
Yeah, it's really... just the way it looks is amazing, but the way it controls is really, really nice too. It just feels nice. And then it's kind of... Well, so far, it's kind of easy. I think there was one spot where Dan was stuck for most of a day.
Yeah.
When he was doing the review.
I think he said he nearly gave up on the review because he just couldn't beat it.
But I don't think I've got to that bit yet.
Oh, you haven't, Dan. Just bad at games.
Which is a possibility.
Yeah.
Maybe he could ask his son to do them for him. Oh. Do you think that's how he got through it? He got stuck. Spent all day looking for other people that could give him clues how to get through it. And in the end, he just left it to Jay, and Jay did it for him.
Jay, get downstairs now!
He got up one day. He got up after sitting there for hours and tearing his hair out. He got up to make a cup of tea. And when he came back, Jay had done it for him.
Sitting on the sofa having a fit.
There you go, Dad. Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, anyway, it's fantastic. If you don't know anything about it, then you should really read the review that Dan wrote and look it up and give it a go, because it's amazing.
Cool.
Done. Next.
Next. Sorted.
Makes me sad I can't enter your competition.
Isn't what to win the Xbox? Yeah, you can't. You oh, that's over now. By the time this goes out, you should have entered to win that Xbox.
You should have done. Is that a record number of
entries? I know, it was a shit
ton. Last time I looked, it was 240.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a good price.
It is a pretty good price.
Phenomenal price. And I actually was looking today at Argos at Xboxes, and for £300 you get an Xbox 250, extra controller, gold HDMI, 4 games, and a docking station for your controllers, plus 12 months Xbox Live Gold for £300.
I was also...
Are you working for Microsoft or Argos?
Huh?
Are you working for Microsoft or Argos?
That's libelous. The fact that Argos and Microsoft paid me money has no bearing on my...
Your endorsement.
...topics of conversations at
Other
all.
Other games consoles are available.
Yeah.
Windows.
Well, brilliant. Which I was going to say, I was looking at PS3s the other day in Ooh. Dixon's. Or is it Curry's? It's Curry's now. Curry's Digital.
I was going to say, Dixon's Curry's no longer digital.
Well, Dixon's
only at airports.
Yeah.
What are you living in?
Only at airports, and the parent company is still called Dixon's. Yeah, so I was in Curry's Digital looking at, which is a fucking stupid
name.
What
if Dixon's and Dixon's had a baby?
Don't know.
Everyone's saying
Man,
that.
Man, Curry's Digital is a fucking stupid name. Anyway, so because they only sell...
Who do you work for? Curry's Digital.
They only sell digital stuff. It's fucking stupid. But yeah, I went and...
It really annoys me that Curry spell their name with a Y.
But...
What, instead of I,
yes.
Yeah.
Every time I have to look at Curry's for something, I always think, it shouldn't be a Y before an S.
Or it should have an apostrophe in it to make it possessive, so it belongs to someone called Curry.
This shop is Curry.
But yeah, so I went there and I was just kind of looking at that and looking... Well, I looked in the Sony shop as well at HDTVs and was like, oh, I can't afford any of those.
I was going to say, don't go in a Sony shop.
So then I went into Curry's Digital and went, oh, I could sort of afford these, I guess. I don't need to eat that much, do I? I try to lose weight anyway. I just eat less stuff.
I think even if Roman Abramovich went into a Sony shop, he'd come out feeling
broke. So expensive. And the other thing as well is they seem to only stock TVs in like 40 inches or larger. I was like, I don't really need a TV that big. Like 32, 37, that'd do me happily.
You're going for a 3D TV? Oh, here's a pair of glasses. You'll need 4 pairs of glasses at £350 each.
Yeah. That was quite a reasonable one in... that was only like £220 or something in Curry's. That kind of...
What,
no,
a 3D
like a
TV?
HD TV.
Oh,
I was like pretty tempted, but I was like, I'd probably buy other stuff. Aiden, you...
Yeah, you don't need a TV. Buy a PlayStation.
Well, there's no point in getting a PlayStation if I don't have a TV.
But you've
got
it's
an SD TV.
Clearly. Doesn't matter.
It just looks shit. It already looks shit on my Xbox. I can't read anything. Any game that has text in it, I'm just kind of moving closer to the screen and squinting.
Buy a PlayStation and then get a loan for a
TV. I need a laptop more at the minute. I need to get a laptop before Euro Gamer Expo. But yeah, we'll see. Yes. Anyway, moving on from things I could have bought to things I did buy. I bought the newest issue of...
Was Alice.
Seamless. Yeah, Alice.
That was a brilliant segue.
So I bought the newest issue of Ultimate Fallout yesterday, which has the reveal of who the new Ultimate Spider-Man is going to be, which is basically just some dude.
Dave.
Yeah, well, he's half black, half Hispanic or something. I don't know. Apparently, Marvel were making a really big deal out of that, and I was like, I don't really care that much what ethnicity or superheroes
are.
Yeah,
it's not really that big a deal, considering you turned Nick Fury into
I was also just kind of more like, I don't really care what ethnicity the hero doesn't It's not really an issue to me.
He's red when he puts his fucking mask on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's red and blue.
What ethnicity is it? He's half fucking spider. Yeah, who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, but I actually thought that was, I mean, to good be honest, call. I felt that reveal was actually kind of boring. It wasn't that cool.
Was it like a Stars in the Rise moment with a lot of fog? Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Spider-Man.
It wasn't like that. He just kind of turned up to fight a dude and then kind of got his butt whipped a bit. But then there was like a load of other stuff that happened, which I don't want to talk about because Marvel haven't spoiled it, and also some of it wouldn't make very much sense if you don't know the backstory. Because it's kind of the way they're doing Ultimate Fallout is it's all after Ultimate Spider-Man's death, and it's kind of like three mini stories per issue, like just really short bits, all by different artists. And I won't reveal what the middle bit is because to me that was way bigger than revealing the new Ultimate Spider-Man.
Uncle Ben has an affair with Mary Jane.
Yeah.
If Uncle Ben and Mary Jane made a baby,
it'd look like Dixon.
the middle bit is kind of, to me, I was reading that and going, oh, this is going to have bad things are going to happen now. Oh, fuck.
Can you tell me and edit out the podcast?
Kind of what happens is in the Ultimate Universe.
Did they put nipples on his spider suit?
No, what happens in the Ultimate Universe, Reed Richards, really Mr. Fantastic, actually turns kind of evil at a point. And when Reed, considering he's the smartest guy on the planet, when he turned evil, he basically nearly destroyed the whole of Earth, like, without really trying. And it took pretty much every superhero combined to stop him.
Mr.
Fantastic, leader of the Fantastic Four, the stretchy dude. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But then at the end of that big battle, he gets like trapped in the pocket dimension. He's found a way to get back to Earth. Which to me was a way bigger, oh fuck, this is going to end really badly for everyone who isn't him kind of moment. Yeah.
Who's the bloke in Red Sun that's really, really intelligent?
Lex Luthor.
Oh, is that... Oh, of course it is. Lewis.
It's all right, Lewis. Don't be so harsh on yourself.
Yeah.
That was an alternate universe story. It could have been anyone.
And then finally, the other thing that happened in Ultimate Universe is... So basically in Ultimate Universe, as a consequence of the Super Soldier program that created Captain America in the Second World War, the US government was also responsible for creating mutants. And basically someone forgot, because you know, like classified files get unclassified every 40 years or something. Apparently that information, someone forgot to reclassify it the last time it got declassified. And that information has been revealed to the press. And at the end of the issue is about to go national, which is probably going to end badly. Considering that mutants in the Ultimate Universe are still really, really hated. Given that Magneto in the Ultimate Universe basically set off a tidal wave that wiped out the whole of New York, people are kind of pissed with mutants.
And mutants themselves tend to be a little bit pissed.
Yeah.
Especially Wolverine.
Well, Wolverine's always pissed. It's kind of the purpose of Wolverine. If Wolverine wasn't pissed, I'd be like, oh, well, that was dull.
Why isn't Gambit in more X-Men stuff? Gambit is clearly the coolest X-Man.
I don't know. I need to find out. I don't know what he's doing at the minute. The last I saw, maybe he was a vampire.
Because apparently Marvel are only getting ethnic minorities.
Yeah. Well, he's Cajun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those.
One of those.
Anyway, moving...
He's a marginal group.
Moving swiftly onwards from comic talk for now, we will come back to it later.
Mind you, chicken's quite
popular. Lewis, competition time.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. That was miles away.
Thinking about Cajun chicken. Competition.
I was, yeah.
I'm drinking a new whiskey this evening.
Ooh.
It's called Connemara. It's a single malt.
Is that in a green bottle with a white label?
Yes.
I've had that one.
It's very nice. It's a little bit smoky. It's a peated single malt Irish whiskey.
Isn't peat bad? Isn't that like dirt?
Yes, but it's... You dig it out of the ground and you dry it off. And it dries and then you can burn it.
Okay.
And when it burns, it smells lovely.
Okay, so they don't...
Basically, this whiskey is made with... infused with smoke from peat.
Okay, so they don't just put dirt in the bottle.
No.
No.
That makes more sense.
Definitely not. It's very smooth. I like it.
This
this
Cherry Lucasade Sport is also pretty damn smooth.
I am also a big fan of Cherry Lucasade.
I think yes, Lewis is ready now.
Blackcurrant.
Do you know what else I'm a fan of?
Competitions.
Alice.
Do you know who's not an Alice? Competitions. competition time, Lewis. Go for it.
Everyone's in Alice.
She's a bike.
Yes. So last week I played you. I'm just warning you, this has got 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go, and I will be listening to the entire thing.
We're only allowed 15 seconds.
Yeah, stop it now.
I'll carry on.
Yeah, I can probably get away with that. That's fine.
Okay, cool.
Because it's nothing like the original.
Exactly.
That was more like the Crystal Maze X-Men theme tune. Yeah, so that was Lux Aeterna from Requiem for a Dream, which is a phenomenal piece of music. And if you follow myself and Peter on Twitter, you probably would have guessed it because Peter kindly did me a dubstep version of it, which was brilliant. But yeah, we were talking about that nonstop for about 2 days.
So?
Because it's just fucking
awesome. It really is an amazing piece of music.
And if you're 18 years of age or over, because we don't want to get in trouble, and you haven't seen Requiem for a Dream, I sincerely urge you to
If you're under 18,
well,
get older.
Yeah.
If you're under 18 and choose to watch it, well,
also, if,
it, well,
if you're under 18, you shouldn't really be listening to this podcast because we have explicit tags on iTunes.
And I'd feel a little bit uneasy about anyone under 18 listening to this podcast.
So there you go. And if you're significantly younger than 18, but you're looking for a film with plenty of drugs abuse and a double-ended dildo getting used, then Requiem for a Dream is the film for you.
And I mean, frankly, if you're under 16 and you're listening to us, you're of no use to us.
No.
We're below the legal age. Terrible.
You have to be 18 to buy cigarettes now, don't you?
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but you have to look over 21.
What? Yeah.
You have to be 18, but you have to
look
over
21. Or you can just have ID.
Not a problem, Lewis.
No, but why don't they just make it 21?
Oh, no, because then you'd have to look over 25.
Yeah, but why do you have to look over 21 if the legal age
is
18?
Because... the difference to
you have to look over 21 and then they won't ask you for ID.
Yeah. You can still get served
I get asked for it all the time.
Yeah, but you can still get served cigarettes if you're 18 and you just give them ID. But they're saying if you look under 21,
but that's stupid. It's stupid.
Why?
Because it is. Why would you set a legal age limit and then say, actually, no, you can't buy these unless
you can buy them.
No, because you have to
look over
21.
But not if you have ID.
If you can give them ID and they'll give you the cigarettes.
But that's
ridiculous. It's not.
It's not like you can buy cigarettes if you're over 18 and you've had a slightly difficult life.
The looking over 21 thing is just so there's a buffer between 18. So that, because there's no difference really between... Because what they're saying is realistically there's no difference between a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old. But
there's not going to be much difference between an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old.
No, which is why some places say you need to look over 25,
which is ridiculous.
Makes way more sense.
It doesn't!
Yes, it does. It's also not a legal requirement.
Fucking shit.
Very, very difficult to tell the difference in age between people.
Yeah. When I worked...
I used to work in a nightclub, and people coming in, and they'd come up to the door, and you'd think, there's no fucking way you're over 18. You look about 13.
Yeah.
And then they'd give you your ID, and they're actually like 24.
Yeah. And the record when I worked at Morrison's was a 50-year-old getting carded, because someone just couldn't tell how old they were. They just looked ridiculously young, And they, and they were like, they're like,
wearing
50.
A school uniform.
So that's what
on a micro scooter.
Playing
just
a yo-yo.
Those Heely shoes.
Chewing bubblegum.
With a backwards baseball cap.
20 cigarettes, please. Yes, so that was, anyway, that was Lux and Turner from Requiem for a Dream.
How many entries did you get?
Not as many as last week, but I don't know if that's because not many people have seen it or know it, or because of the Xbox competition, the little podcast tag wasn't up at the top,
It was only up for a little bit, yeah.
But I still got, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and one of those was wrong, so 6.
What was the wrong answer?
They thought it was Inception, which, fair play to them.
So did I.
It does pass a little bit.
When I remember last week when you played it, and I said that it was something to do with an iPhone app. I was thinking of the Inception iPhone.
I was also thinking it was Inception, because I'm sure it's a piece that sounds fairly similar to that in Inception.
There are stringy bits to it, yeah, so I won't say their name, just in case they feel embarrassed, but whoever you were that said Inception, don't...
Yeah, I'd say the musical scores to those films are close enough that you can... That it's an easy mistake to make. Anyway, absolutely. I'm going to pick number 2, please.
Number 2 is Kevin Evans.
Kevin Evans?
Yeah. I don't know who that is, and he hasn't put any other username or anything. But he said, yeah, Requiem for a Dream. What a happy, happy film. So, yeah, congratulations. And you have won, Peter, between 1 and 7.
4.
No, he's won Peter between 1 and 7.
Oh, right. What do I have to do for those 6 hours?
You have to pretend to be an age between 1 and 7.
Okay.
He likes that. Allegedly.
Poor man. It's like, you won something, but also we're going to say you're sexually perverted at the same time.
That's a compliment. Yeah,
no,
sorry,
it's not.
Peter.
It's great. Hey, congratulations, Pino.
1 and 7, Peter.
4.
Sorry, I haven't got Thor on DVD.
Isn't it out yet? we should do something special just to commemorate when Thor does come out on DVD. We should...
Oh, we should have got March for the Penguins as well.
We will. We'll do a special competition. When Thor comes out on DVD, we'll do a competition on the podcast.
Yeah.
So somebody can win a copy of Thor and a copy of March of the Penguins.
Awesome.
He has won The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake starring Keanu Reeves.
I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah, we're nice normally.
It's not on purpose. We just pick random numbers.
Yeah, and there is, I mean, the only slightly good thing is it's got Jennifer Connelly in it, which is also a link back to Requiem for a Dream. So actually, if you think about it, it's all meant to be. Yeah. It was fate.
Fate. Not my fault at all.
Anyway.
Nope. Fate's fault.
Next
Blame's
week's
fate.
Competition music is...
I ain't got that many hands.
You've also become Cockney in the last 5 seconds.
Right, Governor.
Oh, you'd start offering to shine people's shoes.
This is this week's piece of music.
If this is Knees Up, Mother Brown, I'm going to piss myself.
Don't be stupid. It's Roll Out the Barrel.
Oh.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
All right, Mary. Yeah, this week's piece of music goes like this.
I think Peter might kill him when he doesn't get that.
Peter or you?
Peter.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm thinking you've got the wrong answer.
Probably.
You're thinking of aren't you?
Yeah.
That is completely wrong. And when you find out the answer, you are going to be kicking yourself. Chris, do you want to know what the piece of music was?
What? Oh, of course it is.
Honestly.
Oh.
You failed.
Duh.
miserably.
I think I can hear a Tyrannosaurus Rex crying.
Oh, now that we've done, Chris. Why would you
he can't
that?
Even dry his eyes. Make he's only got
oh my
tiny
god,
little
did you see my did you see the pictures I posted at the weekend?
Sorry, I've just got an image of a T-Rex trying to wipe its eyes now.
Did you see the pictures I posted at the weekend? There's dinosaurs in the shopping centre.
What shopping centre?
The shopping centre in
Brighton.
Do
you mean old people?
I think they might need to renovate.
The shopping centre in Brighton. They've got like animatronic dinosaurs in it. It's fucking awesome.
Is it though?
Yes! It's so good!
I went to Poulton's Park with the school. They got dinosaurs.
Ah, oh, dinosaurs are amazing. Right, moving on.
They're shit dinosaurs. To the point where I was trying to make it all like interesting for the kids. And, oh, look at that one. One of them turned around and went, yeah, I can see the strings holding up.
Well, that's a bit.
Move on.
Those are rubbish dinosaurs. I want proper. Like, these are proper, pretty good animatronic dinosaurs. Anyway. So, coming.
That one's a shit.
Anyway, so coming back from me, from me being told off for getting the wrong answer, which you won't have heard, but this is going to sound like a really abrupt
unless
cut
you
to
bleep
you.
It.
No, I'm not going
to
bleep it.
I'd quite like people to get the vision of a Tyrannosaurus Rex trying to wipe
yeah,
his eyes.
But if
yeah,
we,
just,
if we
just
give that
the title of the movie and then leave us talking about dinosaurs. Yeah.
You know, just be like, I pretty much figured out what it was then.
It also means that we'd get shitloads of entries, so yeah. Don't worry about it. It's fine. All right, just let people get the image of a T-Rex trying to wipe its
eyes. That's
going to
be brilliant. So people just work.
With its stumpy little arms.
The problem is, if someone still gets that wrong, how depressing is that going to be?
It's like I think that's Star Wars.
We spent like 4 minutes talking about dinosaurs. Right.
But which is it?
I have to bleep it out twice now. Peter, do you want to talk about The Sopranos or why The Last Man?
I'll talk about why The Last Man because I have only at the end of season 2 of The Sopranos, so I can talk about that next week or the week after.
Why The Last Man? The ending was sad. You told me it made you cry.
Why The Last... Didn't make me cry, Chris. Didn't make me cry.
It had something in his eye.
Dust in the air. Got something in my eye. yes, the ending of Why The Last Man is... Oh, it's tragic.
This is monkey.
Yeah.
Oh.
He does. The end of why, yeah, the whole way through the
Sorry,
book.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin that for anyone.
All the way through the book, he's, like, he crosses the world. He travels all over the world looking for his...
Sorry. Did someone just have a squeaky toy then?
I heard a squeak, but I don't think it was me.
It was probably just me drinking Lucasade.
Oh, right, okay, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, he travels all around the world with this monkey, and I don't know, if anybody hasn't read it and intends to read it, then tune out for a couple of minutes. Now. It turns out that basically the monkey is the reason why he didn't die when all the other men died. And then, because the monkey's male as well. And then he travels around the whole world and at one point he gets separated from the monkey and they end up having to sail to like Tokyo to try and find him again. And he has this weird relationship with his monkey and it's really like kind of cool. And then at the end of the book, the last sort of couple of chapters of it are set in the future where he's old and then he's sort of having these flashbacks. And at one point, oh, it's so sad. One of the flashbacks is him walking through the woods with the monkey in his arm. And the monkey's really, really old. And he tries to feed the monkey a grape because the monkey loves grapes and he won't take it. And he says, go on, please eat it. Please eat the grape. And the monkey eats the grape and he's poisoned the grape. So that he can put the monkey out of his misery because the monkey's in pain because he's so old.
No.
So he basically puts his own monkey to sleep.
That's pretty sad.
It is really sad. I got to that point and was like, what the fuck are you doing to me? So yeah, it's really, really sad. But it's really well written. It's really good.
How many issues, like if I wanted to catch up on Why the Last Man, how much reading am I looking
there are at? Now 10 books. And that's it finished.
How big are the books?
They're collections of, I think, 6 or 7 comic books. They take maybe 45 minutes to read through them. Yeah, it is quite, you have to sort of embark on it.
Sounds really good though.
But yeah. It is really good. I don't know, it took me ages to finish them. I read up to the end of the 8th book and then just never went any further. I just got busy with other things, but went back to finish them off this week. And got it done. They're really, really tragic.
But yeah, fantastic. Brilliantly written. And really everybody should have a look. Definitely worth a read. But quite alarmed now at the rumours that you hear about movies of it.
Well, what with Shia? Yeah,
with Shaney Beef.
That would be bad.
It would be fucking tragic if they put him in a movie. But what can you do?
Anyway,
moving on swiftly to another comic.
Rude.
Right, sorry. I thought Peter was done.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was halfway through a sentence.
Oh, sorry. Skype cut out. I didn't hear what you were saying.
No, I don't want to say it now.
Oh, all right. Moving swiftly on to another comic. I've been reading... Well, you said you didn't want to say it, so tough.
Yeah, fine. Carry on.
I'm going to drop your last bit as well. I've been reading...
See if I give a shit.
I've been reading...
I'll make your life hell.
Yeah, you already do. I've been reading...
Sorry, what are you talking about?
Red Wing by Jonathan
Who?
Hickman.
Who? Red Wing? What's that about?
Well, it's kind of like, you know...
Okay, oh, is he like the Robin bloke?
So you know... You know the dog fights in Star Wars?
Yes.
No.
Imagine if you had those dog fights taking place, but as they were in a dog fight, they were jumping backwards and forwards in time. Like in the middle of a dog fight.
Okay.
That's what Red Wing is about.
Okay.
Red Wing's about jumping forwards back in time whilst in the middle of a dog fight.
Yeah, basically it's spaceships that have dog fights, but in the dog fights they're jumping backwards and forwards in time. Because they have, like, their time drives.
Are they still having a dogfight when they travel to a new period of time?
Yes.
And they've built a whole comic around that?
Yes.
Mm.
It's really good. Pretty awesome, actually. I thought Peter would be more on board with this.
I'm quite alarmed.
Why?
I don't really understand.
So the whole comic is one massive fight?
No, other stuff happens. So basically it's cutting backwards and forwards between two stories. So there's one story which is this guy and his story in the first comic, at least, is him in this dogfight and explaining some stuff about time. And then he is thought to have been lost in combat. And then the other story in it is his son. And it's basically his son training to be a fighter pilot like his dad was and doing all the same stuff. But it's actually pretty good and it's really interesting. And there's a lot of stuff in it about how... So the concept of it is that time isn't linear, so that there's no paradoxes. So anything you do doesn't actually cause a paradox. So a lot of what's hinted at what's coming... is looking at time in a completely like different way, because that's kind of what they're saying in the first one. Because it's at this fighter training school, it's like 20-30% of it is like actual flying the spaceship stuff, and the rest of the time is like tactics and strategy, understanding the physics of time travel and that kind of thing, so that they can outthink their enemies.
Okay, it sounds very complicated.
Yeah, it's really cool though. Basically, the premise is there are spaceships. The spaceships can jump in time, and they're having big dogfights and space battles while jumping through time. So, like in the middle of it, so one of the things that happens in it is in the middle of a dogfight, they jump into ancient Rome and just start blasting down Roman buildings. Before jumping into another period of time, which is pretty cool.
Well, it would explain the state of the Colosseum.
Yes, exactly.
Because that thing's fucking shit awesome. State. You'd think they'd do some repairs on that.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
That sounds very weird, Chris. Is this like an ongoing thing? Has it been going for a while? Is it new?
No, this is the first one.
Okay. Is it anybody that we would know?
It's Jonathan Hickman, who is currently writing the Fantastic Four.
Ah. It just sounds like a very weird concept to try and get past editors and stuff.
Yep. But it's awesome. I think it's on, like, Image or something.
Ah.
Or Icon, maybe. But yeah, it's awesome. It's really good. I really enjoyed it myself. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's actually brilliant.
Well, I might have a look for it.
I bought my first skinny comic in years this week because of something you recommended.
You bought Daredevil. Did you enjoy it? It was really good, wasn't it?
I really liked the art in it and the way it was put together. I wasn't so keen on the writing.
I thought the writing's okay. It's not brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt. I thought the writing was pretty all right, but the art is amazing.
I think the fact that they're focusing more on his legal stuff was kind of interesting, which is why the cliffhanger at the end kind of felt like a bit of a letdown to me.
Yeah, it was interesting that they're focusing on how he's dealing with everybody knowing who he is now.
Well, everyone's suspecting they know who he is.
Yeah, and basically the way he's dealing with that is by saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not Daredevil. What are you talking about? Yeah. No, totally not Daredevil. I'm good. I'm just me. It's like, I'm fucking blind. What are you talking about? I can't be Daredevil. I'm blind.
But I enjoyed it enough to want the paperback when it comes out, but I don't think I'll keep buying the Skinny's comic series.
I thought it was really good myself.
Just because I couldn't be doing with them piled up everywhere.
Yeah, to be fair, that is my entire room. Yeah. It's just piles of comics.
See, I have a shelf, and that's about all the space I can save.
That's all Mrs. C will let you have.
Pretty much.
You can have this bit for your comic books, and I've got everything else.
Yeah, and I have this shelf that has all my comic books on it, and in front of them are all the little statues I get from like limited edition games and stuff.
And are you allowed any other space in the house?
Not so much, no.
Oh, how do I know? This podcast has suddenly become very sexist.
Only just.
Oh, more so. Much more so. Right, next up we have the quiz.
Can I just say that we forgot to say, if you know the piece of music that I played, you need to email lewisgaston@screendemon.com with your address as well, please.
You do indeed. Yes, next up's the quiz.
I'm doing the quiz.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
So while Peter gets ready, I'm going to read this Washington Post article about why the Dow Jones has collapsed.
I don't think that'll be very interesting for the readers or the listeners.
Well, I'm not going to read it out. I'm just going to read it.
Oh. Well, that's a bit rude.
Well, I was reading it before while I was talking to you. I can multitask.
Okay. Are you ready for the quiz?
Is it
film or game?
It's got a theme. You'll probably guess what the theme is fairly early on.
You always say
there's
that.
A lot of it's just questions, but then there's some audio bits as well.
Is it 1 to 10 or what?
It's 1 to 10.
Oh.
Okay.
Hang on, let me just light a cigarette. Okay.
We're going to start with an audio question. You have to name the film that this is the theme tune for. Any minute now. Okay.
Yep.
So really, that's the first question.
The first question. What film is that the theme from?
I have an issue with that question.
Yeah, I also have an issue with that question.
There are six possible answers.
Yes.
No, there are not.
Oh, okay.
That piece of music is reworked for each of the movies that it might have been from.
Okay.
Very slightly.
You bastard!
Say, you're just going to turn around and go, you're wrong.
Only if you're wrong. Has anybody guessed what the theme might be yet?
Yeah.
Right, next.
Okay, question number two. What can the Millennium Falcon do in under 12 parsecs?
Oh, no, this one. I can't for the life of me remember their name.
I know.
Shut up.
I'm going to win.
Oh. That is super annoying.
Question number three. What happened for the first time in 50 years on the opening day of shooting Star Wars in Tunisia?
Sorry, read that. Say that again.
What happened for the first time in 50 years on the opening day of shooting Star Wars in Tunisia?
Mm.
Okay. See, they're not all going to be easy. Question number four. Who or what is IG-88? Okay, question number five. You can laugh all you like, Lewis.
I am laughing because I'm going
to... It's you that told me to do the quiz this week. Question number five is, who voiced this character?
When 900 years old you reach, look as good. You will not.
Yep.
Okay, question number 6. Oh, this is an interesting one. Who co-wrote the opening text crawl for Star Wars, which begins with the line, "It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire."
Wait, so we have to name both people?
Well, no, it was written by George Lucas and somebody else.
And
okay, question number 7. How did Star Wars make Sir Alec Guinness extremely rich? Oh, you're going to get 10 out of 10 in this, aren't you?
I've got 4 that I'm pretty confident of.
Cool.
I've got 4 that I am very confident.
Okay. Question number
what was that last question again?
Question number 7 was
about how he
yeah,
got rich.
How did Star Wars make Sir Alec Guinness extremely rich?
Mm-hmm.
I've got that one, I think.
Question number 8. What does Indiana Jones have in common with Chewbacca?
Specifically.
Yes. Okay, question number 9 is another audio question. Name the actor and the film.
Greetings, exalted one.
Okay, and question...
What was the... I get too excited and then I forget the question.
The actor and the film.
But there was a bit before that. You said something about it linking something.
Oh, no, that was the previous question. Question 8 was, what does Indiana Jones have in common with Chewbacca?
And that one was just who's the actor?
Yeah,
in the
then
film?
Question 9 with the audio was, who's the actor and the film?
Greetings, exalted one. Oh.
Okay, question 10.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I'll read this word for word the way I've written it. What piece of shit film beat Star Wars to the best picture Oscar?
Yeah, no idea.
What year was Star Wars?
1977.
Late 70s. I'm still trying to think. Greeting, exalting one.
Okay, that's all the questions done.
Right, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 5 I'm pretty confident of. I've answered 9, but I've got 5 that I'm pretty confident of.
Okay. So, what did everybody get for question 1?
Is it just simply from A New Hope?
Yeah, I put just Star Wars.
It was.
Good.
Okay.
Wait, does Lewis get a point? Because he put Star Wars, he didn't put A New Hope.
Well,
don't be a pedantic.
Well, Chris, as everybody knows, when it was first released into cinemas, it was just called Star Wars. They didn't add the New Hope suffix until the following run when they widened out the number of cinemas that it was being screened at.
I'm sorry, I hadn't been born yet. I wasn't born for another 9 years.
Well, then it's history. And those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it.
Well, that means I'm doomed to re-release Star Wars and become stinking rich.
Which would be fucking awesome on all counts.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 2. Did anybody get this?
Question number 2, I put the Kessel Run.
No, it's the Kessler Run.
No, it's the Kessel Run.
The Kessel Run.
Oh,
Lewis
fuck.
Was right.
I was sure it was the Kessler Run.
Mm.
Kessler's a character from something then.
Okay, I'm resisting the urge to get too geeky about the answers to these questions. Question number 3 was what happened for the first time in 50 years on the opening day of shooting in Tunisia.
Eclipse. I'm going to guess it rained.
Chris is right.
Oh.
They had the first proper rainstorm for 50 years and had to abandon shooting. Okay, question number 4, who or what is IG-88?
Assassin droid.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bounty hunter.
Yes, you're both right.
Oh, mine was way more specific.
Yeah. There was 4 of them. They were made to be assassin droids, and they killed the people that made them, and then they worked as bounty hunters as sort of a cover, so that the Empire didn't work out who they were. So you're kind of both right. Different periods in the Star Wars history. Number 5, does anybody know who was speaking for a start in that audio clip?
Is that the one who played Yoda?
Yes.
Frank Oz.
Yeah, yes. Frank Oz.
Oh, you're both doing really well. I'm actually proud of you.
Mm.
What's the actual score?
The score is 4 each. Question number 6. Who co-wrote the text crawl at the beginning of Star Wars?
Harrison Ford.
I wrote Harrison Ford because he's awesome.
Okay, you're both wrong. It was.
I was just guessing.
Surprisingly, this is interesting, Lewis. You'll like this. It was Brian De Palma.
Yep. Really? Wow. I did not know that.
Quite amazing, really. Mm. Which is probably why it's the best written bit of the whole film. Okay, number 7. How did Star Wars make Sir Alec Guinness extremely rich?
Was he something like, not a producer, but like he took, rather than a salary, he took a cut of the profit?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that he, because it's the same thing George Lucas did, where he took really low salary on the project, but like said, I'll take X percent of the box office and other stuff.
George Lucas took $150,000 for total control and 40% of merchandising, I think. Yeah. And Sir Alec Guinness took 2% of the box office.
Which is still very, very rich.
Yeah, which is still crazy rich. And I think he got that on the special editions as well.
Yeah.
Number 8. What does Indiana Jones have in common with Chewbacca?
I went for something very obscure. The Lego games.
I've put they were both in a crossover comic series where where Indiana Jones met the Millennium Falcon crashes and they meet.
Is that true, Chris? Does that exist?
Yes, that's a crossover comic.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You can play as Chewbacca in Lego Indiana Jones.
No, you can't, Lewis.
You can.
The actual answer, I'm not sure if I should give Chris like a point for that.
Because it was accurate.
If that comic book exists, it's probably the greatest thing ever written down on paper.
I'll find it for you.
They were both inspired by George Lucas's dog. Mm. He was called Indiana and looked like Chewbacca, apparently. Okay. Question 9. The actor and the film.
Is it Mark Hamill from Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, that's right.
It is. I tried to steer clear of being too geeky about this, but I was obviously not geeky enough. Okay, question 10. Which film beat Star Wars the Oscar?
I don't know this one, but I'm going to take a guess at something like Cabaret.
Oh, not too far off. It was Annie Hall by Woody Allen.
That is shocking.
Oh my God. Chris has just sent me a link and that comic book does exist.
You've got to give me a point for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it wasn't released though, was it?
I'm not sure if it was released. I think it was cancelled. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like it was cancelled.
That doesn't count then.
I don't think it would matter.
No, it was published.
So, by my reckoning, Chris has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And Lewis has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So Chris is the winner. 7-6. Thanks to an obscure comic book.
You tosser.
Who would ever have thought that knowledge would be useful?
Congratulations, well done, Hello, Chris.
Hello, I win. I'm happy about this.
Is that the extent of your enthusiasm?
Yeah. Meh.
It was a good quiz. I'm surprised I got...
It wasn't as fun as beating you, Peter.
No.
It's because it happens more often. There you go.
Well
I'm
done.
Very pleased that you managed to get so many of those.
See, even I know stuff about shit films.
So maybe next week you won't want me to do the quiz again.
Do what you like.
Maybe next week you can just do the quiz, Lewis, and we can have it about something that's interesting to more than just me.
What are you talking about? There's going to be millions of people listening to that quiz now.
Yeah, and they'll all have got like 10 out of 10.
If you just tag post on TSA with Star Wars. Done.
Yep. We'll be getting Google search income for fucking months.
I got 12 out of 10. Good for you.
Oh, right. Take bets now. Who's going to put a comment in saying that one of the answers was wrong?
Everyone. Yeah. All the comments.
Which one?
I don't know. Something.
No, I think they're all pretty solid questions. You can't mock them or question them. You can't question the questions.
I'm glad you took my Indiana Jones Star Wars crossover answer.
Basically, I would have just let you win no matter what, Chris, because you brought that to my attention.
I find it ironic that the link is the Lost Indiana Jones Star Wars crossover was really depressing. What's really depressing is that you knew it existed.
That's true. How did you even know about that thing?
Because I know many things about comics. And also, I read IO9 a lot.
Is that another assassin droid?
No, IO9 is the website I linked to. It's really cool. Yeah.
So what's next, Chris?
Next is questions.
Questions.
Don't let me talk about anything today.
Well, Lewis, what would you like to talk about?
Don't want to talk about nothing.
Well, then that's why I'm not letting you talk about stuff then. If you don't want to talk about anything, and also don't want to talk about nothing, it's a double negative. But
oh, shut up.
You've been listening to the GrammarCast.
I'll double negative all over this.
Kevling says, Seamus' stolen off the weekend confirmed. I don't know, what's that? Does anyone know what that is?
It's
what did he say?
A little podcast that somebody runs. Nobody really listens to it.
What did he say?
It's stolen off weekend confirmed.
That I really genuinely did not hear what you just said.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Right.
And that's a podcast, apparently. I don't. What, Peter, what is it?
It's just a tiny little podcast. Nobody listens to it. Don't worry about it.
Tell me about it. You're lying.
I can't remember the name of the guy that does it now. Fuck's sake. It's moved. It's on Shaq News now. It used to be the One Up podcast guy.
Oh, okay.
But then they obviously, that One Up stuff fell apart 2 or 3 times, and then eventually he moved to somewhere else. And now he does this podcast called Weekend Confirmed.
Oh, is it Philip? Someone.
I've no idea.
I want to say Philip Kohler, but that's not right. That's the
name. It's Garnet somebody.
Oh, Lee Garnet.
Alf Garnet.
Garnet Lee. Lee Garnet. Garnet Lee.
Garnet Lee. That's
yeah.
Fuck, Garnet just completely went out of my head. Yeah, it's probably one of the most popular gaming podcasts on the internet.
Yeah, he is quite famous.
Yeah, not as good as ours though.
Anyway, he says, what is the best in-game tutorial you've played? The best he's ever played was Portal 2. Which I have to agree, it probably was Portal 2.
Yeah, probably.
The best in-game trailer?
Tutorial.
Okay.
I
haven't played Portal 2 and I can't think of any other tutorial, so...
I would say Portal 2, the only thing with the Portal 2 one is it is... stolen almost directly out of the it's so similar to the tutorial in Halo 3, but it's just much funnier.
Yeah, the tutorial in Bulletstorm was quite good as well. I think
I haven't played Bulletstorm.
It sort of walked you about the back end of your ship and made you kick things and then made you drunk for a while, but Portal 2 probably is, because it's the funniest, so it's probably my favourite.
Okay. Well, that was the easy one. Next.
We should just answer all the questions like that. Somebody asks a question, you just go, yes. Move on.
Nope. I got questions as well, so you remember.
I'll remember.
Colin
Barr, in his traditional wrestling question, it's very important now. It's a wrestling question, so we have to take it seriously.
I'm ready.
He simply says, and this is a very simple question, CM Punk?
Nope. Move on.
Lewis?
I like CM Punk now.
Yeah, I think CM Punk is fucking awesome.
He's brilliant.
To be honest, I've always thought CM Punk was awesome. He's brilliant when he was a heel because you just wanted to hate him so much.
I got a bit confused about CM Punk because he kept saying straight edge and all that sort of shit.
Did you not know what that meant, Peter? Were you confused?
Oh, well, I kind of thought, does that mean he's still a virgin?
Or are you confused because it's something young people say? Did you not understand?
No, I was confused because I thought that it was some sort of puritanical thing, and it turns out it's something to do with not taking steroids.
No, I mean...
It's not taking drugs, not drinking alcohol.
Yeah, he doesn't do drugs, doesn't drink.
Oh, is it all that weird shit?
Yeah.
I say weird shit, like half the world lives like that, to be fair. But to me, if you don't drink alcohol, there's something a little bit weird about you.
No.
Yeah, no, he doesn't drink or do drugs.
Which, to be fair, considering he's a professional athlete, is probably a pretty good attitude.
Hmm.
Is he a professional athlete?
Yes.
Yes.
If you don't say wrestlers are professional athletes, I'm going to come over there to Ireland and hit you. They work harder.
I'll be with
you. Is he or is he a professional entertainer?
No, he's an athlete. He works probably a 20-minute match. It's about 250 nights a year they perform, which is
more than
that. It's 300 nights a year.
They only have about 6 days off a week. 6 days off a year.
So it's absolutely ridiculous.
Would you say that, say, for example, a ballet dancer that works in the Moscow Ballet, would you say they were an athlete as well?
Yeah, I'd say so, certainly.
Okay. Just getting my definitions down.
I'd say wrestling is actually less of a grey area than ballet. But no, I'd say ballet is definitely, I'd say they're athletes.
Athletic.
Yeah, I'd say they're athletic. I wouldn't say necessarily athlete, but I'd say they're at least athletic. But I'd say, no, wrestling is definitely, they're definitely athletes.
Okay.
How else do you, because it's so physical and so demanding.
Oh yeah, I'm not for a moment suggesting that wrestling's not hard.
But are you suggesting that in some way?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it before asked the question.
Are you looking at more from the angle that to be an athlete, it has to be a genuine competition?
Yes, I sort of.
I could see that perspective on it.
My initial response was based on the fact that I saw the word athlete as interchangeable with sportsman or sportswoman.
So, shall we say an athletic entertainer?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, that's a compromise.
Yeah.
I bet he can still bench press and run faster than me.
Yes. He could probably bench press you if he really wanted to.
I don't know, Chris.
CM heavy. Punk?
Yeah, but those guys can press a lot more than they look like they should be able to.
I'm fairly sure I could bench press him, though.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, probably weighs a lot more than you. He probably weighs about 250 pounds because he's just all muscle.
No. CM Punk.
Which they're all muscle. Muscle's
he's
heavy.
Skinny though.
Yeah, but they're all muscle.
Cena would weigh about 250.
Yeah, I guess. I probably can look it up actually, thinking about it. Let me see.
Google. How much does CM Punk
if
weigh?
If CM Punk's listening to this podcast, I'd love the opportunity to bench press you, sir.
Oh, no. CM Punk weighs 222 pounds.
Really?
Yes. It's because muscle is heavy, man.
Yeah, I know, but he's still a skinny person.
Yeah, but...
Like, he's not... And he's not overly toned, either.
Yeah, but you think...
It's because he refuses to take steroids.
Yeah. But you think, like, look at the GTS. I mean, his finish is called the go-to-sleep, where he gets someone up over his shoulders. I mean, you have to be fairly strong to be able to do that.
Yeah, but that's different to bench pressing. That is completely different.
It's a completely different muscle group. But I'm saying, if he can do that, he's clearly strong. Therefore, he has good muscle build. Therefore, he is heavy.
Yeah. I'm not denying that he's strong, but bench pressing is a completely different thing, I think. Mm. It's challenging, much more challenging than lifting someone onto your shoulder.
No, that's totally true, but bench pressing is a huge part of their training. Like, working weights is that's that they do a lot. Anyway. Oh. The next question. Is... Adam West's Batman, discuss how hilarious he is. That's from Ryan Martin, 1991, who also was quite happy
Barry,
with
move
his
on.
Praise. Yeah, Adam West is pretty ridiculous. He's pretty hilarious. Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
The film's been doing the rounds on Sky lately.
I don't... It's just ridiculous. I have real conflicting ideas about that version of Batman, because on the one hand, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's only a bit of fun. And also, it made everybody know who Batman was.
Mm.
So I think it raised awareness far more than anything else.
has done.
Oh, no, but yeah. No, but the question is, isn't whether or not it's bad, it's just how hilarious is it?
Oh, it's very hilarious.
Me and my mate were... Yeah. Me and my mate were pissing ourselves watching it on TV because there comes a bit where he gets a bomb, like an old-fashioned...
Yes, I love that bit of the
film. And he's like running around a dockyard trying to find a free space to put it. And he's like running across and there's a group of nuns walk past, so he has to turn around. And then a woman with a pushchair walks past, so he has to turn. And I just think, oh, just chuck it in the water, for God's sake.
And then he also asks... James Love followed up by asking how ridiculous were bat nipples, which were pretty also... Those were just bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clooney's Batman was a fucking abomination.
Did Clooney's Batman have a bat credit card? I don't remember that.
I remember something, but he said something like, oh, I'll put it on the bat card or something like that.
Yeah, he did mention it.
Do you know something interesting I found out? Because this was in a comic recently. I think it's in Gates of Gotham, but it's not a book I read, but it was in a podcast I listened to. And they were saying, what's brilliant is... Because they were saying, okay, so how for years did Batman get his hands on all the equipment from Wayne Enterprises? And what happens is he steals it, and they're obviously insured, so it's not a major loss for Wayne Enterprises. But Bruce Wayne also owns the insurance company that insures them.
Oh.
Which I was like, oh, so basically it never leaves Bruce Wayne. Brilliant.
So he insures himself, therefore yes, he basically doesn't actually steal from anyone.
No, because he just pays himself back the money.
Okay.
So he's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. No moral ambiguity with Batman.
No.
He's just good.
And they've got another question from Kesling. I don't know who these people are. Maybe I do. You have to tell me who these people are, because I can't remember.
Oh.
Who would win in an imaginary fight between Kaiser Soze and Tyler Durden?
Usual Suspects.
Who are those? I don't know.
And who's the other?
Tyler Durden.
Oh, Fight Club. Brad Pitt and Fight Club.
Oh, okay. I know who that is. I don't know who Kaiser Soze is.
Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects.
I haven't seen that film.
In which case, ignore what Lewis just said and go and watch it. Because that's a massive spoiler. And it's a really quite good film.
It's a brilliant film.
Okay. I can't answer. Who would win?
Tyler Durden.
Okay.
Well, no, because now we've got the issue that Tyler Durden's imaginary.
And plus, Kaiser Soze is kind of crafty.
It's a tricky question.
And to be fair, he does also say it's an imaginary fight, so...
In a straight-up, tangible fist fight, Tyler Durden.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Fair enough.
But probably, if it came down to a battle of wits, I'd say probably Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. Lewis, you had questions.
Yes, I did. Where do babies come from?
Well, when a mummy and a daddy love each other very much, they hug in a special way.
Imagine if a mummy and a daddy got together and made a baby.
Is that where Texans come from?
Exactly. Peter, apparently there's some mistake on TSA.
Yeah, I see.
Whatever.
Well, I don't see. I just saw the note. I just saw the big public announcement of it, but I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah, well, that's whatever.
Okay, my first question was from...
Can we cut the call again? I hear him and stuff echo. Skype is being a proper bastard tonight.
It's fine for me. It's just you. So Lewis, questions.
From Ralph Thompson, who is RHT992 on TSA.
Go.
I have a question for the podcast as well. I'm currently trying to catch up on all the films I missed from last year. I've already seen True Grit, but what other films could you recommend? Also, about Robert De Niro from a few podcasts ago, he made a great film a couple of years ago called The Good Shepherd. That's really worth seeing. It also has Matt Damon and Angelina Jolie in it. I have seen The Good Shepherd, and it is a very good film.
Now you've said Matt Damon, and now I'm thinking about the song again.
Matt Damon.
I'm fucking Matt Damon.
It's also directed by Robert De Niro, and that's about the birth of the CIA. That's a very good film.
I want to see that now.
It is really good. You should see it. It's one of those. There's not like loads of action. It's just really, really well done. Like really well written. Characters are great, and Angelina Jolie puts in an amazing performance in it as well, which is quite rare for her.
It's not what Brad Pitt said.
I've forgotten the other. Oh, he's already seen True Grit, but what other films could you recommend from last year?
The Fighter.
The Fighter, yeah.
Watch Scott Pilgrim.
That wasn't last year.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was the year before.
No, Scott Pilgrim and Social Network was last year as well.
Yes, go watch those
films.
This
is the trouble I have. I can't remember when they were all released.
Yeah, go.
But yeah, what Peter said first.
Watch Scott Pilgrim and The Social Network.
And what did you Fighter. Say first? The Fighter, that's a very good film.
Yeah, watch that as well.
Inception was last year.
Yeah.
You might want to mention that, Lewis. You don't usually miss an opportunity. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, watch Inception. It's great. It's all right, actually. It's,
well, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, see, now there's loads, and I'm just trying to think.
It's hard to remember what came out last year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's a good start. The Fighter, Scott Pilgrim, Social Network, and Inception. Go watch them.
Go.
Now.
Well, listen to the end of the podcast first.
Where's Chris gone?
He's gone to watch them.
Next one is from Amar Al-Naimi, who says... He started playing his backlog, as you suggested, starting with Batman. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago? Yep. Why is it considered as the best superhero game? He agrees that it's great, but what makes a good superhero game? And which superheroes would you like to play with? Ha ha.
Okay.
Well, the main reason it's a good superhero game is, well, for a start, all the others are kind of trash, really, although they are getting better. But the main problem with a superhero game is it works with Batman because Batman isn't really a superhero. Batman's just a hero when you think about it. He's a human who is at the peak of physical fitness. He's as good as you can be without like shooting up, without doing steroids, without having some weird concoction injected into your veins, without basically being Captain America.
Are you basically saying that Batman is CM Punk?
Batman is CM Punk, is what I'm saying here. No, because Bruce Wayne drinks. I don't know if Batman does, and you could consider them separate identities. Anyway, but yeah, so the problem is when you play as someone like Superman, there's such an expectation of power. Like, Superman, in terms of fighting people on Earth, he is basically without equal.
Yeah.
Like, unless you have someone walking around at all times with kryptonite, he has literally no weaknesses.
Yeah,
or magic.
The way video games work, it has to be a bit of a challenge which you can overcome. That's what makes a video game enjoyable, generally speaking.
Whereas basically, if you're Superman, it's just like, oh, I just kind of flicked you and now you're dead.
Yeah.
That there's no challenge in being Superman. And if you scale him down, he doesn't feel like Superman.
And also, it's very difficult to replicate the range of enormous power.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
so, for example, with like the Green Lantern game that we just had, well, the Green Lantern can make anything at all come out of that ring. But in the game, he only had a set moveset.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to replicate the range and breadth of powers that superheroes have.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, Green Lantern did a pretty good job. Though, apparently, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. But this is why... Captain America game's meant to be pretty good, and the reason we came with that is although he is super powered, he is just like a human but better. He does stuff that a human couldn't do, but there's nothing that's like bizarre that he does.
Yeah, he's not crazy superpowers. He's just human, but a bit more everything.
So basically anything he can do, a human can do just not quite as well, really. Which is why, again, he works, because you can place some limitations on him, that kind of thing.
That Wolverine game might have worked a bit better as well.
Yeah, I mean, okay, he's got Yeah, he's got claws, but basically it's just hand-to-hand combat, really. That's all he does. And in fact, the Wolverine game is brilliant because he's Wolverine, so he heals, which kind of actually makes regenerating health work in universe for once. Yeah, so that kind of work that works Wolverine, but the problem is that they try so many heroes that Well, not they try, but there are just so many heroes that you can't do well that it's almost impossible to do well. Like Iron Man, you can't really do Iron Man well. He's just there's too many things Iron Man can do.
Yeah. I think that's maybe another reason why the Batman games are so good, is because it built a narrative that had him without all of his gadgets.
Yeah, and then slowly
introduced his gadgets. So it slowly introduced more and more powers. And you could do something similar with Iron Man, but it would be difficult to work that in. But I think basically what it comes down to is the reason why the Arkham Asylum was so good is because Rocksteady spent time on it rather than just trying to get it rushed out the door.
Yeah.
So it could have been anybody. You could have been like a secret agent in that game. It was just skinned with Batman.
I was going to say, it's not just about the fact that it's Batman either. It's about the fact that, that Rocksteady introduced great fight mechanics as well and made it an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, almost anything in that game could have been done with just some like athletic spy guy. Could have done similar things.
I mean, that's sort of what people were saying, is that realistically, when you think about it, Batman Arkham Asylum isn't actually a great Batman game in some ways. It's a good game that happens to have Batman in it. Whereas I think Arkham City is going to be more based around, like, okay, this is stuff that only Batman can do because it's a much broader environment.
I'd argue against that, because there is still quite a large open area in the courtyard for you to fly and or glide, rather, and use your zip lines and stuff.
Yeah, but I think gliding is sort of the only thing that he does in that no one else could do. Like, where you couldn't just slot a spy in and it would work as well. Everything else he does...
No, but you also had the scare tactics as well. I think I'd completely disagree with that, actually.
No, I reckon you could have... Like, the scare tactics... Because they're sort of in Splinter Cell and they work in the new Splinter Cell.
Yeah, to a degree.
I mean, it's not as obvious or pronounced, but it basically works. So the gliding, I will agree, you couldn't have that with other people, but in like the core mechanics of that game, I think would work without Batman.
Although, whereas, to be fair, they kind of did the gliding in Just Cause 2.
Yeah.
With the parachute.
Whereas Arkham City does look to be a lot more kind of based around Batman being Batman, which is good. Which is kind of them going, okay, we've got the core focus of this game down. We know what we can do very well, what can we build on this to make it feel special. So that's good. And then, but like you said, it's people putting the time into the games to make them work. And people need to accept, like, Superman is never really going to work in a game.
It would be very difficult. I think you have to accept certain limitations.
Unless you get a villain that uses kryptonite as a weapon.
Yeah. But then again, that's just not... That also doesn't make for a very interesting game because you're not really being Superman.
I think another thing that Rocksteady managed with the Batman, with Arkham Asylum, and it looks like they might have done it with Arkham City as well, is the same thing that Nolan did with the movies, is that they put Batman into a universe that you could sort of believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that different from our universe, really. It just has some strange people in it.
And it is quintessential Batman because it's Arkham Asylum. You've got all the characters in there, even if they're not in a major capacity, they're referenced in the cells and stuff. So
yeah, there was quite a lot of fan service.
It stayed true to the mythology, I think.
Yeah, I think that's something that they did well, is all the little touches in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's certainly true.
God, that was a fucking great game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I might have to get that again. Daniel Bell, who I think won the competition last week or the week before, he admittedly said, "I cannot enter the competition as I quite simply do not know." But he did ask.
Nice for him to get in touch anyway.
Yeah, he did ask. On Monday, while waiting for a removal company, I managed to play through and beat Sonic 2 for the first time. I later realised that I first played Sonic 2 about 18 years ago, so it has effectively taken me 18 years to finish the game. What is the longest it has taken each of you to finish a game? I'd have to say Fallout, just because of the sheer number of hours.
Yeah, if it was number of hours that you've put into it, probably, maybe Fallout 3, but maybe one of the old Final Fantasy games. I might have put more hours into. Possibly.
Depends. Like, in individual boss battles, I think Heavenly Sword took me... Like, it, you could run through the whole game in about 4 hours, except for the end bit where you've got to fight... what's his face? Andy Serkis. That fucking took ages, that did.
I'm trying to think.
And Ares in God of War 1. Ugh. What a bitch.
I still haven't finished FIFA. Every time I think I'm getting near the end, a new season starts.
Bastards.
What?
Right.
Are you talking about FIFA, yeah, or is that a random?
FIFA.
And he also says, quick question for Peter. I heard on an earlier podcast he is a fan of my favourite TV show, The Wire, and would like to know his favourite season and favourite variation of the theme tune. For me, it is season 4 and the theme tune of season 1.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what the theme tune to The Wire is a song by Tom Waits, who I really like Tom Waits. So I think it was maybe season 2 they used Tom Waits' version. But it might have even been season 1 that they used the Tom Waits version. I can't remember. But whichever one Tom Waits sang was the best theme tune.
Are
you sure it's not the theme tune to The Great Escape?
Fairly sure.
Oh, damn. That's a good song.
My favourite season of The Wire. The first one was really good. But I think... I don't know. I kind of... Overall, I think probably the 5th season in the newspaper offices. Just because, well, because I like the setting and the whole journalism thing anyway. But also the way, there was a number of times in the 5th season where they referenced things that had happened in like the 1st or 2nd season in a really clever way. And also in like a really casual way. So they didn't make a big deal about it, but they just sort of said things that people who had picked it up late wouldn't have got. God, The Wire's fucking phenomenal. That's great television.
Does it have Ari in it?
No.
I'm not interested.
He also says, you should check out a miniseries called The Corner. This is my hidden gem, as it's kind of a prologue to The Wire.
Okay, I will. I will look for it. And report my findings. The Corner.
Okay. And final question comes from Hazelam.
Hazelam?
Aslan.
Isn't that the lion from Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe?
Yeah, Aslan the lion. And she asks, do you have any idea what Donnie Darko was about? Because I've watched it a few times now and I still haven't a clue.
Yeah, we watched Donnie Darko this week.
It was about rabbits, wasn't it?
It was about rabbits, about myxomatosis.
Yeah. Like Watership Down.
Exactly.
I did watch Donnie Darko again for about the 500th time this week. It depends. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer to it. It's whatever you get out of it. Obviously, it's about time travel. And the best way I can explain it, or the way that I interpret it, is that there's a glitch in the future. And therefore, it crosses into the present timeline that you're watching. So it starts off with the aeroplane engine falling through Donnie Darko's house. And then because he's a bit of a troubled youngster, he starts to learn about time travel and wormholes, parallel universes, that type of thing, and then realizes that the future's going to come back again, so he deliberately goes in to die. So that's the best way I could describe it, is a glitch in the future.
I still haven't seen Donnie Darko. And basically now I'm just not watching it out of stubbornness to wind Lewis up.
You're a cunt.
Yeah, but that, seriously, but watch it. That was like my Portal 2 plan, and it turned out Portal 2 was really good.
Yeah. Alex keeps telling me to watch Donnie Darko as well.
And
I think Kevling's mentioned that it might be worth watching once or twice.
Watch it.
I don't know, Lewis, I'm not really fond of rabbits.
Do you know what I've been watching a lot? I've been watching Entourage. That's good, but it doesn't have any rabbits.
No, it doesn't have any rabbits. But it does have Ari. Have you got...
You know what else what has rabbits? Alice. You need to watch Donnie Darko.
Yeah, I might do one day.
And the rabbit is superb. Wake up, Donnie.
Yeah, but is it about the high-powered world of Hollywood and Ari screaming at people a lot? And also, does it have an awesome dog called Arnold in it?
Arnold is an awesome dog.
Arnold is pretty fucking awesome.
I haven't watched Entourage.
Have you got to the season that has Lloyd in it yet?
Yeah, no, I've watched way too much Entourage. I'm to the point where they've bought Medellin.
Okay. That's season 3?
No, season 4, I think. Oh, is it? At the end of season... I think I'm at the end of season 3 or the start of season 4. One of the two.
Yeah.
But Johnny Drama's on his TV show now and stuff like that.
Yeah. The way that Ari and Lloyd work together is
amazing.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it gets better and better as the seasons go on as
and
well.
And I love that it turns out that Ari kind of likes Lloyd.
Yeah.
And if you have any intention of watching Entourage, and these are like 4-year-old seasons now, you should probably skip this bit. But yeah, how depressed Ari gets when he doesn't have Vince.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. There's bits, I don't know, I don't think it's much of a spoiler. At one point, Lloyd leaves.
Oh, I know that.
Just for a little while.
Yeah.
But Ari kind of falls to pieces.
Oh.
It's brilliant. Entourage is brilliant. I can't believe it took me so long to watch it.
I can't imagine how Ari would get along without Lloyd. He'd just be perpetually... No one would be making phone calls for him.
Well, no, basically he spends half his day firing new assistants.
Oh, to be fair, Lloyd is a really good assistant.
Yeah.
And I love that Lloyd is Ari's assistant, but is also Johnny Drama's agent.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. The new season started and I haven't seen any
of them. Which either shows how awesome Lloyd is or how little they care about Johnny Drama. Yeah, but I'm loving it. And the stuff after they've made Aquaman and it's a huge hit and it's really tense. Are they going to make Aquaman 2? I couldn't stop watching it because it was so tense.
Yeah.
People, you should watch Entourage. Man, it's amazing.
You really should. I'm resisting the urge to talk about things that happen in the seasons after the one you're watching.
I might have to go watch Entourage after this and make an omelette.
An Entourage omelette?
Probably going to make an egg white omelette and then watch Entourage.
An egg white omelette?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Fuck's sake, Christian.
But they're meant to be better for you, and I'm very fat.
Yes, but all the flavour in an egg is in the yellow bit.
All the protein's in the yellow bit.
Yeah, but they're meant to be better for you.
It's boring.
Yeah, it is boring. And plus, how many eggs do you have to use to get a decent omelette if you're only using the whites?
Three egg.
Omelourage.
Omelourage. There you go.
But I was going to make a 3-egg omelette anyway, because I don't think 2-egg omelettes are enough, really.
No, 3-egg minimum. A 3-egg minimum on my omelettes.
Yeah.
And that's only if
four
you're using a small
half
pan.
Half a brick of cheese.
Yeah, I do use quite a small pan. Because I tried to make a 2-egg omelette in a big pan and I was just looked at the amount of egg I had and looked
that's
at the pan and went, just went, yeah, yeah just great. Going, that's not going to work at all. I want to get enough eggs to make an omelette in a wok.
Are you right there, Peter?
That's a phenomenal idea. And also, I know somebody, well, my granny knows somebody, that does like weekend work on a farm. He's about 80, but he goes to a farm at the weekend and helps the farmer do stuff. And he always brings back like 2 dozen eggs. So I could probably achieve a wok omelette this very evening.
The trouble with that is, because of the wok shape, you'd end up with a really cooked base, but a really undercooked.
That's true.
Pool in the middle.
You'd have to do it
and then
slowly.
You'd have to flip
you just
it
have
over.
To cook it slowly, and then you'd have to finish it in under the grill.
Yeah. The other thing I want to do is.
Would your wok fit under a grill?
Yeah, the grill's in the oven. Also, if you cooked it slowly and were perpetually spinning the wok, you could essentially make a bowl shaped omelette, which you could then fill with cheese.
Oh, man. Do you know the other type of omelette I want to make? Is you know you can get the things for fried eggs that make them look like you know, like the McDonald's breakfast fried eggs.
Yes.
Yeah, poached.
Yeah. Well, it's not really poached, though, is it?
No, they're just like little rings that you put in the frying.
They're fried egg, but you put a ring. But I want to get like a triangle and make an omelette that's triangular.
You're messing with nature.
Oh, man. Oh, no, it probably wouldn't work because they're plastic and they'd melt. But when...
You've got Tyrannosaurus Rex shapes.
Yeah, I got T-Rex shapes for like that, like cookie cutter things.
You'd have to make a circular omelette and just cut out from the middle of it.
But the problem is I'd have to make the omelette and then cut it out afterwards because they're plastic. So if I did it in the frying pan, they'd melt.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal. You're going to make an omelette anyway. Just put it on the plate and use...
You're already talking about throwing out 2/3 of your egg before you even start.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off. I'm going to make it... All right. Fine.
You could recreate Jurassic Park
fine.
In an omelette.
I was trying to be healthy, but fine. If he'll shut you the fuck up. Why are we talking...
If anything, get rid of the
why
white.
Why are we talking about this on the podcast?
If I made an egg white omelette, if I just used the whites to make an omelette, I'd have to use the yolks to make egg custard afterwards.
Oh, sorry. we're at the, like, just about to hit the 2-hour mark, and the last 5 minutes has been me discussing what the correct type of omelette is.
Public loves cookery shows, Chris.
I think at this point we should probably end.
If I had an egg white only omelette, I'd be ostracised.
To be fair, I'm going to have mushrooms and cheese in it.
As you should.
But 0% fat cheese.
Oh, it's not even cheese.
But that's not cheese.
But it says
that's congealed.
I don't know what it tastes. It don't. It's like it says mature on it though. But I don't know.
Yeah, Madonna says mature on it. Don't mean I'd eat her.
I'm trying to be healthy, guys, and you're fucking me up.
There's less fat on Madonna.
You're messing all my plans up. I'm trying to be all good and healthy.
Stop it.
But I.
Yeah, it never brought anyone any good.
I don't like being fat. I want to be thin.
I don't. I want to just live like 300 years ago where being fat was a sign of popularity and
I suppose.
Prosperity.
They still live like that in China.
But I'm going to China. I went to Kung Fu yesterday.
They don't have much internet over there.
I went to Kung Fu yesterday for the first time and I realised I need to lose some weight.
You went to Kung Fu?
Yes, I did.
You should watch some Sammo Hung films.
Is he as shit as Jackie Chan?
He was Jackie Chan's friend when they were in the opera. He's a little fat dumpy man that does Kung Fu. He's actually much better at Kung Fu than Jackie Chan is.
Oh, cool. Kung Fu is hard, yeah. It turns out.
Isn't it, though?
Really, really hard.
Yeah, but it'll make a man of you.
It's awesome.
Or break your fingers.
Man, the first 20 minutes was just like circuit training for 20 minutes. Yeah. I was like, fuck. It's hard work.
I watched a program the other day where they did, there was like a documentary where they said they wanted to see if styles of Kung Fu were as good as the animals they based them on. And so they obviously had a tiger in the studio, a snake in that, and they test reaction times, power, strength, that sort of thing. Until it got to, I think it was the tiger, and they were saying, like, the people that practice it train by smacking their fingertips into something solid, mm-hmm. and it breaks their tips of their fingers, and then they wait for them to heal, and then they break them all again, and they just repeat that process over and over again until it gets to the point where their fingertips are just basically congealed solid lumps of bone that they have no feeling in. And then they got in a dummy, like a gel and an anatomically correct dummy that had all internal organs and stuff that was considered a replica of a human, to see if it was possible to actually rip someone's throat out, and he did.
Yeah.
He stuck his fingers right into the throat and ripped the whole thing out.
Because he did some, like, it wasn't mental like that, finger strengthening. It's just doing finger press-ups, which are really, really hard. And then he was like, and now take your thumb away, which is ridiculously difficult.
What, you're doing press-ups on 8 fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah, or just on fingertips.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
I would have just turned around and go, no, mate, I'm sorry. That's
I learned some Kung Fu when I was younger. I did a little bit, not for very long, not very accomplished, but I did a little bit. And one time I spent an hour standing punching a bucket of sand.
Did you lose your cigarette?
This was in order to strengthen my knuckles.
Yeah, it's all about conditioning your hands.
Don't stop, Chris, until you can do a 1-inch punch through a coffin.
Wife through a coffin.
Oh, Chris, next time. Let's kill Bill. Are you going in next week?
Yeah.
When you go to your kung fu class next week, ask him if he'll teach you how to do a Hadouken.
I don't... I don't want to take the piss out of this dude because he's been doing it for like 25 years.
Yeah?
And
in which case, he know all the secret. In which case, after he's taught you a Hadouken, ask him for the 5-point exploding heart technique.
This guy's been doing kung fu longer than I've been alive.
Yes. So what? Ask him if he knows Panda.
I don't want him to beat the shit out of me and then kick me out.
He won't beat the shit out of you. Kung Fu's about defense, and they don't know, never use it for
that
attack.
That is true. That's what we were learning.
Push him to the edge. See how far that logic will go.
No, I don't want to fuck him up. I don't want to like, make him really irritated with me, because he'll just kick me out.
I'm disappointed.
Well, if he starts getting aggro, quote Buddha at him.
But it's all about respect for your teacher. It's a big...
If he starts giving you aggro, quote Mr. Miyagi.
It's a big bit. So, like, respect for your teacher is a big thing.
It is.
Yeah, well, he should respect his student and answer your questions.
It's very important to learn the spiritual side as well as the physical side.
Yeah, we did a little bit of that as well at the end, which was cool.
How much are you paying for this?
It's £8.50 a lesson, but if you pay, you can join up for £50 a year, and then it's only £6 a lesson, and you get, like, some other stuff as well.
That's...
What, so you have to pay £50 a year and then £6 a lesson?
Yeah, but you get other stuff if you pay £50.
Fuck me running. Like, that's really cheap.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty... Because when I emailed the guy, I'm like, oh, how much is it? I was really worried it's going to be, like, £20 a lesson. I was like, oh, well, if it's £20 a lesson, I could, like, maybe I could go, like, 2 times a month or something. And they wouldn't be too expensive.
Yeah, it was. I think when I was doing it was years and years ago, and it was £15 a lesson.
Yeah, and I thought £8.50 is not too bad, really.
No.
And I don't. I wouldn't mind paying like a £50 lump sum to get it down to like £6 a lesson. Because I think if you do that, though, they
because if it was only £6 a lesson, you could afford to get a bag of chips on the way home.
Exactly.
Thinking, Chris. Now you're thinking.
No, but I think if you join up, you can like go on retreats and stuff with them and that kind of thing, which would be quite cool.
Yeah, until you find out what they do on those retreats. Mm. And then you'll be wishing you were back in the dojo doing finger press-ups.
But they also go to China.
Oh, they'll be finger press-ups.
They go to China and stuff like that, which is quite cool.
Yeah, but is it?
Yeah. They were saying, well, the last time I went to China... these old women took a shine to one of the guys who went, and they went and got him a special treat, a bowl of entrails, because apparently they like offal and stuff, because over there it's like eating peanuts.
Okay.
Similar.
Oh.
And on that note, let's and on that bombshell, this I fucking hate Jeremy Clarkson.
I would throw that offal back in the face and say fuck offal.
This has been episode 30 of the Oscar Mike. I'm just going to talk over Lewis.
But then she'd probably kick the shit out of
entrails.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're in China. It's still embarrassing to get the shit kicked out of you by a little old lady.
Yep.
No, because the bonus is, because you'd be taller, you could just put your hand on her head and just keep her at a distance.
Yeah.
She'd break your arm in like 4 places.
No, she wouldn't.
All right, this has been, fine, pod, right, say goodbye.
No.
This has been episode 30 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. He has been, as last always, one. Your host, Chris Lipscomb. you can get him on Twitter at twitter.com/HalBPro. He's been joined by Lewis Gaston. Who you can get on Twitter at twitter.com/LewisGaston, and he's been joined by me,
Peter Chapman, who you can get on Twitter at Peter Chapman. No, at Colossal Blue.
There you go. This is easy, Chris. I don't know why you make such a fuss of it.
Say goodbye.
We've said goodbye. We've done your job for you, Chris.
Bye.
I'd have to be specific. If I was famous, though, just for the laughs.
Oh, do you know
what? I think that's why most of them do it.
Do you know what I found out about Van Halen? You know Van Halen were famous that they had the brown M&Ms thing? No brown M&Ms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found out why they did that, because it wasn't just them being dicks. There was an actual reason. which was because their stage show, it was so complicated. Like, every time I did it in a little venue, people would get it wrong. But it was, like, the whole contract explicitly detailed how to do it. And the no brown M&Ms thing was, like, the last detail on the contract. So if there were no brown M&Ms, I know someone had read the contract from front to back to make sure they got everything. And if they saw brown M&Ms, they would go and have the entire stage show checked. Like, every single element of it checked.
That's quite
yeah,
clever.
Yeah, I thought it was really clever.
Although,
yeah.
Not as clever as putting it in the middle.
True.
Because most people would read the beginning, read the end, and then go, yeah, done.